We're going to be at 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 10. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2 has talked about his concern for the church of Thessalonica. And he gets to chapter 3 and he says, "So when I could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now, we really live because you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith." This is the word of God. As I studied this passage, I noted that twice in these verses, Paul uses the word encourage. Maybe I just needed encouragement in the last week or so, but it just gripped me that the goal of this passage is encouragement. First, he talks about how he sent Timothy to encourage them, which, by the way, I think is an amazing thought. When Amanda told me what song she was going to sing at the beginning of the week, I was actually going to cover just the first five verses of the text, and I was going to talk about Timothy, who's safe in Athens and is going to be sent to Thessalonica. Now, Paul is with Silas and Timothy, and you remember at the beginning when we studied Thessalonians, we went back to Acts where it talked about Paul's journey to Thessalonica and how he went with Silas. So it was Paul and Silas who were there originally to plant the church in Thessalonica. And Paul and Silas, you remember, were there 3 weeks and they get run out of town. Well, they didn't get run out of town. They left before the mob could catch up with them. And they hook up with Timothy. And Timothy has an interest in that region, but he wasn't part of the original church planting team that went to Thessalonica. But now he's safe in Athens, and he's been told by Paul what happened in Thessalonica, how they went to the synagogue and preached the gospel in the synagogue, and how the leaders of the synagogue eventually get together a group of people, and there's riots that are forming because Paul's preaching the gospel. Now, if you're going to get sent someplace, do you want to get sent someplace where the last people who went proclaiming the gospel got run out of town in a riot? This isn't exactly a great place to go. I'm guessing it wasn't, a nice little bed and breakfast we're going to spend some time with. This is going into a town which has a huge animosity towards the gospel. And Timothy from the safety of Athens is sent into Thessalonica. That to me is an amazing thing. I think that the song Amanda sang was one which expressed the heart of Timothy. Here am I, send me. That I'll go even though it's not safe to go. Then he went in order to fulfill the task that Paul had given him to encourage and strengthen the church there. And upon going, he now returns back to Athens and he's talking to Paul. And Paul is encouraged by what Timothy reports. And so the issue that comes to my mind as I read this text is that Paul wants to communicate this issue of encouragement, and I believe from this text we can discover how you and I can encourage one another. Ways that we can encourage those who are sitting next to us right now. The ones that are around us, that we can help them remain faithful and to grow in Jesus Christ. And so today I'm gonna pull out four ways to encourage one another or to encourage a friend. The first, don't hide your troubles. Look at verses 3 and 4. We'll actually start back at verse 2. We sent Timothy, our brother and co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. So they sent Timothy so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. Paul says, you've probably heard things haven't gone real well for us. There's not much of a surprise there. We told you that things weren't going to go well. I want to let you know that it turned out exactly as we said, that we would have trouble. Now, we live in a society where everybody wants to be positive. We want to just say the best things, and we leave out the negative things. And so we often downplay our troubles. As a society, we don't want to look weak. And men are not supposed to cry, after all, because crying would show weakness. We wanted to present this positive image where it says, we don't complain. Nothing bad's happening in my life. We want to be strong. We want to let everybody know, I've got it under control. I want to say, how nice is that? You know, when I meet with other pastors, every once in a while I just hear them say, man, I was really struggling because it didn't seem like attendance has grown at all. Well, we have a auction, tried to raise money for the youth, and nobody's bidding on anything. Okay, that's a shameless plug. Auction ends today. Bid on something. Actually, there's two pens made by somebody in the church, and he would really be encouraged if at least somebody would bid on them. I made the pens. Come on, help me out. We get together with people. I don't want to hear, man, everything's perfect in my church. No one's wrong with you, man. I got it all under control. How nice is it to sit down with somebody and you let out that you got some struggle, and they say, "Oh, I never had it. I can't imagine that. Just can't imagine that struggle." Okay, I'm guilty of that. I found out this morning I was guilty of it. I didn't even know I was guilty of it. But if you come to me and you're struggling with smoking, can't relate. Can't relate at all. You know, as the person told me, said, people that have never smoked can't understand why people smoke. But people that have smoked can understand it. See, that's the way it is in life. If you go through life telling everybody your life is perfect, you know, struggle with depression, discouragement, how are people going to be encouraged when they struggle with those things? What we need is people to say, I want you to know I've had trouble. I have experienced what you were experiencing, and I want you to know I can live through it. I appreciate this. Many people have tried to help me out with this. I've been fairly open with the fact that I'm going to have a cataract surgery. And I've talked to you about my concerns about that. And a number of you have come to me and said, it's a piece of cake. I did it. You can do it. I really appreciate the fact that none of you said, you know what? I did it, but I'm just not so sure about you. But a lot of you wanted encouragement because you said, I have had that trouble and you can get through it. It wasn't that bad. As a matter of fact, now I don't wear glasses and my kids don't even recognize me. Unfortunately, my doctor said this week, he said, now when people are going to talk to you about the fact that they've had cataract surgery, and he said, don't listen to them. He said, yours will not be like theirs. So now I'm looking for somebody who smashed their eye and had a similar surgery because, you know, your surgery was 15 minutes, mine's scheduled for an hour. Now, you guys really helped me until I talked to the doctor. What's up with that? The thing is, though, You'd encourage me because you said, I've had a similar trouble. I've gotten through it. That's what Paul says. You've heard I have troubles. I'm not afraid to let you know that I've struggled in life. You know, to hear some people talk, they've never been sick. They've never had an argument with their wife. When I hear somebody say, oh, we've never had an argument, my first thought is, I wonder which one of you is a doormat. There are so many things that you can argue about. You know, I guess that's how you define argument. You know, Michelle and I used to have this, it used to be a significant discussion. See, when we first got married, I really liked Italian food. She really liked Mexican food. And when it was time to go out to eat, what did we have? We have instant opportunity to argue. There's this tension. Where are we going to go? I want to go to an Italian restaurant. She wants to go to a Mexican restaurant. Everybody argues. Why would we say we don't? We don't have to have this facade as though we're perfect, because if we have a facade as though we're perfect, then other people think there's no way they can relate to me. There's people that go through, they breeze through life like they're on drugs. Yeah, everything's fine. That they're made of Teflon and nothing bad ever sticks to them. Too many people have bought into the mantra of our society, which says you always have to be positive. But what I think we need with one another is the honesty to say, you know what? This is how my wife and I resolved that same conflict in our marriage. Because I liked Italian and she liked Mexican. And you know what? She'd go to Italian all the time. She's a submissive wife. But that doesn't really resolve the problem. And so come at it in a different way. Paul says, I want to encourage you, recognize that I have had issues. I'm not afraid to let you know that I've struggled. The second thing about genuine encouragement, first of all, you can't hide your troubles, and you also cannot hide your fears. Paul goes on, this is verse 5 of the text. He says, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid. Those are powerful words. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. Paul, in that one sentence, communicates to the church of Thessalonica an incredibly powerful message. He was willing to admit that he had fears about their ability to remain consistent in Christ. I believe there is no greater message that we can give to one another than to say, I have watched your life and I'm concerned for your faith. To take someone and say, you know, I'm watching the way you're relating to your wife, and I'm concerned that you are not treating her as Christ would treat the church. To say to someone, you know, I see you come to church every week, but every week I look and your Bible has dust on it. You know, there's really not enough construction zones between your house and church for it to get dusty between there and here. You should be reading your Bible more often. Or to say, you know what, I have a concern for you because I haven't seen you in church. I'm concerned that your decision-making is going to lead you away from Christ. I have fears for you. That's what Paul says. When I could stand it no longer, I sent Timothy because I was afraid. I believe that we need to be willing to say to one another, I was afraid for your faith. You know what? If I have friends that are never afraid for my faith, I wonder if they're really good friends. If they never say, you know, I was afraid for you because I'm looking at your life and I'm wondering, are you where you need to be? Paul says that he's insecure about the faith of those in Thessalonica. It was a fear that flowed out of his own work there and his need to have it completed. And wondering if it was sufficient. I believe that Paul saw something great in store for the church at Thessalonica, and he was afraid they wouldn't achieve it. When we pray for one another, and when we talk to one another, there's a point where we ought to say, I was afraid for you. I am afraid for you. I am afraid that because you never come to church, that you're not able to actually sustain your faith. I was afraid that if you followed down this path, you're destined for a destruction of your marriage, or you're destined for financial crisis. Paul's expression of fear is an expression of love and encouragement to the people at Thessalonica. He let them know that he cared about them and their spiritual well-being. And part of the way we do that with one another is be willing to sit down and say, I'm afraid for you. Because I want better for you, and I believe God has better for you. I believe God wants us to encourage one another. Because of that, we shouldn't hide our troubles. We shouldn't hide our fears. And we also shouldn't hide our emotions. Look at verse 6. Timothy just now has come to us from you and brought us good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now, we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. I love that phrase. So now, we really live. What was Paul doing before then? He was doing what a lot of people do when they have incredible concerns and are going through trials and they're afraid that something's not going well. He was holding their breath. He was wondering. He said, we long to see you, and now we're encouraged by you. We live because of you. We are able to relax. We can breathe again. The connection that Paul had with the church at Thessalonica was so strong that he had shared his life with them, and if they were failing, he couldn't enjoy life. He wasn't afraid to let them know of his concern. He wasn't afraid to let them know of his emotions. I found myself at the beginning of this message, I come up here and I talk about a couple that has been coming to our church and has gone through some difficult things. And just in the last couple of years, they remembered the faith of their childhood. Michelle hadn't been to church since she was 10 years old. And although one of her kids said she was older than her dad, we didn't get that age. You know, they talked about it. And at one point, we're talking, and I look over, and there's tears streaming down her face as we're talking about grace. And I just want to say, Jesus saves. And the reason I gave up the first half of this service is because I saw there was a couple that needed to know that Jesus was there for them. And it's okay for us to be emotional in the face of salvation. The people have been transferred from the kingdom of hell to the kingdom of heaven. And Paul says, what greater joy is this? Now I can breathe. Maybe not so heavily because it messes up the speakers for some reason. But now I can breathe. There was a moment when I had to decide at 5 minutes to 11. And a man who had just said to me, I don't know why I should go to heaven. I had a decision. Do I stay there with them and teach that man about faith? And leave you? And some of you thought, I wonder what's wrong with Pastor Steve. Wonder where he is. What's going on? If we don't show our emotion, we don't show our love for one another. We have become so afraid to let the people into our lives that we isolate ourselves as though we're an island. We've made ourselves just individuals, and individuals wither and die spiritually. Paul says, I can live now. I can breathe. Because Jesus saves. Because one more person knows that if the worst that we could imagine happens and they die tonight, Jesus will say, come on in, my friend, for you believe in me. How encouraging we need to one another. We need to be willing to say, you know, I get emotional about you. Don't hide your troubles. Don't hide your fears. Don't hide your emotion. And don't hide your appreciation. This is where Paul ends our passage. He says, how can we, this is verse 9, how can we thank God enough for you? Isn't that a cool phrase? This cool phrase upon cool phrase. You know, now I can live because your faith is secure. How can I possibly thank God enough for you, for the joy that you have brought us in the presence of Christ? I am now so happy. Night and day I prayed that we may again get with you and supply what is lacking in your faith. How can I thank God enough? You know, a lot of times we want to express our appreciation in private. We're going to go and pray and, you know, well, thank you, Lord, for we fill in the blank with what somebody has done. It's kind of a lost art in our society to actually vocalize thank you. Writing thank you notes, I don't think I want to be in the business of printing and selling thank you notes. I think that, you know, we've pretty much, except for weddings, we don't do thank you notes. Oh, I guess that there is that wall on Facebook. You can put thank you on there. Tell you what. If you want to thank me, don't do it on Facebook. I don't have a Facebook account. If you want to invite me to a party, don't do it on Facebook. Well, if you want to invite me to a party and not have me show up, invite me on Facebook because I'm not going to see the invitation. If you want to thank somebody, post it on Facebook, but pick up the phone and say thank you. Don't be afraid to show your appreciation. Don't be afraid to put it out there at the beginning. You know, our society wants us to gain every advantage possible. And so when you're negotiating with somebody, they always say, make them get their price first. You know, how about just put your emotions out there? Say, you know, I'm not afraid to say, I love you guys. I'm not afraid to say, I care for you. I pray for you. I'm not afraid to say thank you for all you've done for me. So Paul says, I want to encourage you. I want to be encouraged by you. Because of that, I'm not going to hide my troubles. I'm not going to hide my fears. I'm not going to hide my emotions. I'm not going to hide my appreciation. Because I want you to be encouraged by my life. I'm pretty sure that there's something in there for us. I'm pretty sure that we can choose to pick one or two or even all four of these ideas and make them a part of our life in order that we might encourage one another. Let's pray.